Some time ago, I conducted services in the Detroit area of the United States. I stayed with an immigrant Scotsman who'd spent his working life as an engineer with the Ford Motor Company. He was very keen to take me to see Fair Lane at Dearborn, the mansion in which Henry Ford spent the last 30 years of his life. It was most interesting to visit that place. The guide took us round, and she showed us eventually the room in which Henry Ford died in 1947. Now, he died in the darkness, by candlelight, and the lady was almost in tears as she told us the story. Great care had been taken to make sure that that mansion was well furnished with electricity. It had its own water-driven generator. But at the time when Henry Ford was dying, there was a flash flood, and the powerhouse was flooded, and the whole place was plunged into darkness, and he died in the darkness by candlelight. He'd been born in 1863 on a farm in Michigan. His people weren't particularly poor, but the point I want to make is this. The circumstances in which he died were so similar to the circumstances in which he was born. He died in the dark. Now, spiritually, every one of us were born in the darkness, and it would be tragic if we died as we were born. You might fail to understand what I'm saying, so let me explain. None of us were born at an advantage spiritually. No one was born with a silver spoon in their mouths as far as their spiritual condition is concerned. The Bible makes it clear that we were all born as sinners. Because Adam disobeyed God, he introduced sin into the human family. Sin became like a kind of hereditary disease, passed on from generation to generation. Every one of us were born with a sinful nature. The Lord Jesus put it this way, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And the Bible uses that term, the flesh, to describe the sinful nature that we all have. So every one of us were born with that sinful nature which has been transmitted from generation to generation. Allow me to illustrate for you. A number of years ago, the River Rhine in Germany was polluted when some chemical waste was poured in somewhere near the source. It was polluted right down the stream, right out to the North Sea. You see, pollution poured in near the source affected the whole stream. Now, the pollution of sin was poured into the human family right at the source when Adam disobeyed God. And the pollution of that has affected the whole human family from then until now. So we were born with that fallen, sinful nature. That is why no one had to teach us to tell lies or to be selfish. No one had to teach us to sin. It came naturally to every one of us. There was a bias in our lives towards sin rather than towards good. You've watched the men playing on the bowling green. You've observed as the ball has left their hands and as it nears the jack, it takes a turn. Why does it turn in one particular direction? Because it has a bias. It is biased in that direction. Now, similarly, when we were born biased to sin. So that sinful nature that we inherited from our parents and they from their parents in turn, that sinful nature, sin began to express itself in the sinful things that we did. Now again, let me illustrate. If a little animal starts to bark, that doesn't make it a dog. But it barks because it was born with the nature of a dog. We didn't become sinners then when we committed our first sin. But we started to commit sin because we were born with the nature of a sinner. So every one of us are sinners by nature, and subsequently we became sinners by practice. Now, because we are sinners by nature, we need a new nature. The Bible calls it the divine nature. And that is the experience that the Bible calls being born again. The Lord Jesus said to a man called Nicodemus, "You must be born again." There's a lot of woolly thinking about this term, born again. Some people speak about born-again Christians as if this was some particular sect or denomination. The fact is that Christians, real Christians, have been born again. The only kind of Christians that there are born again Christians. It is the experience of being born again that makes a person a Christian. The question I ask you is, have you ever been born again? Has there been that time in your life when you were born into the family of God and received God's nature, the divine nature? You may see no need for it. The Lord Jesus saw a need for it. Listen to his language again as he spoke to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Someone might say, but you know, I'm very respectable. I don't need an experience so radical as it's described as being born again. Well, now, the man to whom the Lord Jesus first said these words, he was very respectable. He was a high-ranking Jewish preacher, a rabbi, described by the Lord Jesus, indeed, as the teacher in Israel, as if he was the most prominent among all the rabbis in Israel at that time, a very respected member of the Jewish council. And yet, he was told, you must be born again. Now, if a man so outstanding as Nicodemus required the experience of the new birth, it is important that every one of us have that experience. You must be born again. You might ask, how does a person come to experience the new birth? How does one become a member of God's family and receive his nature? Well, the Bible teaches that as many as receive Christ, they have that privilege to be born again, to be called the children of God. It is receiving Christ as Lord and Savior that brings us the experience of the new birth. Now, in the context where we're told about receiving Christ, it explains to us that that really means believing on his name. When we believe on the Lord Jesus, that is tantamount to receiving him into our lives. And when we receive him, we are born again. So I ask you, have you ever received Christ? I'm not asking if you've ever received the communion or the mass. It's nothing to do with that. Receiving Christ is opening your life to a person, the Son of God, the great Creator, the one who came into the world to be born as an infant at Bethlehem, who lived in this world for over 30 years, a stainless, spotless life, and then at the end of that time, gave his life in sacrifice for our sins. Because he died, you can be born again. Because the Lord Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice for sin, your sins can be forgiven and you can receive the divine nature. You can be born into the family of God. When I was born, just a few months before Henry Ford died, well, I received life, physical life that fitted me for life on this planet, and I became the member of a human family. Some years later, I realized I was a sinner who needed a savior, and I received the Lord Jesus. I called on him to save me, and I was born again. That is, I received then spiritual life. The Bible calls it eternal life, the life that will ultimately fit us for heaven. And at the same time, I became a member of God's family. Someone might say, but aren't we all members of God's family? No, we're all God's creatures, but we are not all God's children. I could prove that quite easily. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, said to the congregation of people who gathered round one day, he said, you are of your father, the devil. In a spiritual sense, the devil was their father. So very evidently, Christ didn't believe that we're all God's children. It's only those who've been born again who are God's children. So to those who've been born again, he gives the privilege of being called children of God. So are you a member of God's family? You must be born again. So, allow me to recap. We were all born with a sinful nature that led us to do sinful things. Because we've done these sinful things, we do need to be forgiven. But just because of what we are by nature as sinners, we need to be born again. Of course, the things happen simultaneously when a person receives the Lord Jesus. The very instant you receive Christ, your sins are forgiven, but at the same time, you are born again and you become a child of God. I ask again, have you been born again? You might say, well, why does it really matter? Well, the Lord did say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So really what he was saying was this: the experience of the new birth is absolutely essential if you mean to be in heaven at the end of life's journey. This brings us back to where I started with the illustration of Henry Ford. He died in the darkness. He died as he was born in a situation of relative darkness. Now, spiritually, you cannot afford to allow that to happen. We were all born in the darkness of sin, but we need the experience of the new birth to ensure that at the end of life's journey, we are in heaven rather than in hell for eternity. The Bible describes hell as outer darkness. It speaks of it as the blackness of darkness forever. Now, these are very, very sobering terms that the scriptures use to describe the judgment of God. Can you see then why it's so important to be in the right destination for eternity, heaven rather than hell? And so said the Savior, if you want to be in heaven, you've got to be born again here and now. So we come back to it. Have you ever been born again? In the Bible, one of the apostles, a man called John, he spoke much about being born again, and what he demonstrated was this, that if a person has been born again, it will radically revolutionize their lives. He makes clear that they won't be enslaved to sin anymore. They will not practice sin in their lives. He makes clear that they will do righteousness. They'll all want to do the right thing if they've been born again. They'll be characterized by love. Love for God's people, love for their fellow Christians, if they've been born again. He says too that people who've been born again, they won't be preoccupied with the world. They won't love the world. The world won't overcome them. That is, their lifestyle will not be worldly anymore. Their interest will be spiritual rather than worldly. So in a sense, John is giving the evidences that a person has been born again. Now, in some of these talks, I've encouraged you to read the Bible for yourself, so maybe if you do have a Bible, you could get it out and turn to that little book near the end of the New Testament. Not the Gospel by John, but the first letter by John near the end of the New Testament. And read it through, and you'll discover that there he does give the proofs, the evidences of the new birth. So if you do claim to be born again, read it through and ask yourself, does my lifestyle, does my conduct match what John is teaching here in the Holy Bible? Have I really been born again? So, remember, it is important. You must be born again. For except a person be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Heaven's gates will be barred to all those who have never been born again. So, allow me to recap. Born again, forgiveness, being saved, all these things take place when a person receives Christ, when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't try to improve your own life. You depend on Him to do it for you. You see, one of the terms that is used to describe the new birth is being born of the Spirit, that is, of the Spirit of God. So the moment a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes to reside within them, and it is He who gives them the power to live as a child of God ought to live. We don't have the wherewithal ourselves. Willpower will never aid us to live the right kind of life. It's not grit and determination that keeps a person on the Christian pathway. No, it is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So if you are born again, the Holy Spirit has come to reside within you, and it is in His energy that you can live the kind of life that will bring pleasure to God. But come back to this now. You must be born again. Don't be like Henry Ford. He died as he was born in a physical sense. You daren't die as you were born in a spiritual sense. You must be born again.